in. I love barbecue.
I love grilling. Grilling weather is upon us. Well, not tomorrow, but some people will be grilling in the snow. Let's bring in the grill master from Weber Grills. It's Kevin Coleman. It's good to see you. Thanks for coming in, man.
Oh, thank you guys for having us. Hello. Good afternoon.
His hands are meat cleavers.
We shook hands like, wow, yeah. You have really big hands.
Huge.
Is that like a prerequisite to be like a master griller?
I think
you
got to
be big.
You got to throw meat around and you got to be able to pull things apart. I mean, there's the whole...
You know what? I was just at the place where they sell lambs and every guy in there was like throwing and cutting things up and their big cleavers and everyone had big hands.
It's an experience. I teach a barbecue science class at Ohio State or the Ohio State University, and we've had to do some harvesting of animals.
Wait. Yes, what kind of blow-off class is that? A barbecue science class? Why didn't they have that when I was in college?
We've only had two football players in like 6 years. So
what are you teaching?
So we teach mostly agricultural students and engineers, and it's four credit, and so it's the first 7 weeks of each semester. And they cook on gas, charcoal. They cook all the different types of proteins, and then there's a small competition at the end of the semester for the team that wins, and we usually donate a grill or two to them.
Are you kidding me?
Nope.
It's a great class. So if you live here, do they just have class once a week or once every seven weeks?
So we fly in at the beginning of class the first week and then we fly back in at the seventh week. So we've designed the whole curriculum that the kids learn and we basically walk them through grilling and it's pretty fun to see where they start and then how much we actually can help them teach and where they're at at the end.
So did you go to school for this? Grill master?
I've had a non-traditional kind of way of getting into grill master. So I started at Weber way off in prior in customer service, got promoted to our parts store. The Stephen family who used to own the business let me work there every summer, created a position for me when I got out of school, got my master's degree from Eastern Illinois University, and just kept working up and learned the art and the science of how we manufacture grills. And then it got into cooking and then working with some of the best top chefs and pit masters in the world. And
wow. All
of a sudden you come back here and you're like, spread the gospel to as many people as we can to help them grill better.
Did you always love to grill? Because you're on the business side of it. Now you're the guy teaching everybody what to do.
So for me, it was hard because I'm colorblind. So it was really hard for me to tell when things are done. Yeah. So that's why, like, when you have the eye grill that we're hopefully going to give away later, when you can tell what the temperature is, as long as I know what the time and the temperature of the food I'm grilling is supposed to be, everything else is pretty easy. So even if it's under or over a little bit, I can still figure out when that food's supposed to come off. So it's been a... It just started getting into it, and then you see how excited people get about it, and then you're learning from all these different people. And I would say barbecue is probably our country's cuisine, if you will. Like, it's something that people all over the world want to know about.
Because
American
any hillbilly
barbecue.
Can do it?
Any hillbilly can do it. I mean,
say that because I'm a hillbilly from Peoria.
Well, there you go.
Right.
So, I mean, it's totally inclusive, but even if you screwed up a little bit, it still tastes pretty good.
Right.
You're right.
You know? And it's one of those things that when you're in the backyard, you know, there's two reasons why we drink and we barbecue. You know what those are? We either drink to celebrate a great meal or we drink to forget it.
So. And then you can pour some of that on top of it. It's always
marinade,
delicious.
You got it.
So you can answer questions. People can call in with grilling questions, questions about grill, questions about meat, seasoning, anything.
Any kind of meat science, grill science, barbecue science, we can answer.
So I have the first question.
Wait, hold on. Let me give this plug real quick. 312-981-7200. This is what we're going to do. If you get on the air and ask Kevin Coleman from Weber Grills a question, everyone who calls in with a question, if you get on the air, will receive a $50 gift certificate to meatsrus.com. Meats, the letter R, us.com for custom cut, premium hand selected steaks, burgers, pork, veal, and lamb, all delivered to your door. Powered by International Meat Company since 1952. And I was at International Meats at Grand and Harlem. I was there talking to Victor 2 weeks ago. Walk through, man, they got some good meat.
Well,
what is it with men that they get excited when they see a USDA prime steak? I got so excited.
It's
I'm like,
channeling of the internal caveman.
Look
I
at
think.
That puppy.
They do look nice. I'm going to ask a question I don't think anybody else will ask.
All right.
When you're thinking about grilling and you're using indirect heat, so so as opposed to putting a piece of meat on the grill or poultry, whatever, using a grill as indirect heat, does it also act as a convection oven?
So I can speak mostly for our products, although some of our competitors. When the food is not directly over the heat, it's called indirect heat, right? So you're using two major types of heat to finish that protein. It's either going to be convective and conductive. A little bit radiant from the charcoal or the gas that you're using, but mostly convective and conductive energy. That's what's penetrating into the food and cooking it.
And then, so how do we perfect that? Because when we, like you said, you sort of, you know when it's done, that's time, the temp, blah, blah, blah. But when I'm trying to heat my oven, or now in this case my grill, as a convection oven, and I want it to be at 450 or 350 and it goes a little bit higher, do I try to lower the heat or do I cook it faster?
Well, it's everything is based off of thickness, right? So how thick something is going to tell you the temperature is going to cook it at, and it's going to tell you the time it's going to be on the grill. So if you're cooking at a little bit faster of a rate, let's say your temperature is supposed to be 425 and 450, you're okay. But for leaner proteins like chicken and fish, if you try bumping it to like 500, you're really going to pull it down and it's going to stick and it's not going to be very good. And I don't think you're going to enjoy it.
Well,
too much.
I was thinking of like a roast. If you were to put a roast in sort of like a foil aluminum pan and put it in and try to cook it like a convection oven.
It would work the same. You're basically, any recipe that you have that you were going to do in your convection oven, you can do on a grill. It's just the way that you set it up. So the per pounds, so like I'd say a chicken is 11 to 13 minutes per pound at 350. You bump it up to about 400, it's 9 to 12. But the faster you get it on, the quicker you get it off, you're going to maintain more moisture, because meat is like 70 to 75% water.
Right.
So the longer it's on, the more moisture comes out, the more dry out it gets. Now, if you don't like who you're cooking for, keep it on there a little bit longer. Maybe they won't come back to your barbecue and you can save yourself that friendship. But anything that you can do inside an oven, you can do on a grill.
That is the science.
Meat
of
thermometer,
barbecue.
By the way. Yes. You got to have a good meat thermometer. What would you recommend?
So we have a Bluetooth device called iGrill that monitors your food wirelessly. It sends a Bluetooth connection to your phone, and so you can plug in anything that you're going to cook.
How great is that?
It then will give you a warning when it's 5 degrees less than the ideal temperature you want to take it off at.
It's wonderful.
And you can have more fun. So at your barbecues, you don't really have to stand there and like pretend like you're doing something.
No.
You can go
I feel like
life.
You're going to give Jane and I one of those. So I appreciate that. Thank you for that.
Well, there's reasons why I'm asking if you can use the grill like a convection oven. I'm thinking already about what I'm going to make, so I can save space and not heat up the kitchen.
I have a Weber Genesis. I haven't touched it since November. What do I have to do right now?
Best thing to do, if you have any kind of gas grill, charcoal grill, you want to take it out, you want to take the grates out, you want to take the flavorizer bars out, see how much schmutz, grease, and schmutz is it's an official barbecue word. You want to kind of clean all that stuff out to the bottom tray and then throw that out.
Okay.
A nice stainless steel bristle brush will clean most of that debris that you have inside the grill out. And the key to that is the cleaner the grill is, the faster the air is going to move around the grill, which means the food's going to cook itself faster. So the more stuff, the more schmutz you have on it, it's going to slow down some of that airflow and it's going to extend the amount of time that the food's going to be on the grill.
So bottom line, clean up the schmutz.
Clean up the schmutz.
What about the oven, if you use oven cleaner on the inside of the grill?
I wouldn't use any kind of oven cleaner inside the grill. I think the best thing to use is just a simple mild soap detergent scouring pad will clean most of that stuff off. I mean, I wouldn't treat it like you would inside. There's some chemicals in there that I would probably stay away from, especially if that stuff gets on your grill.
Gotcha.
You know, clean it off.
Makes sense. I love cleaning my grill. I love it.
So charcoal or gas?
It's like asking which daughter I love the most. It's just a very hard question to ask. Well, certain days I like one more than the other, but I mean, we have 54 grills at home on the record. So it's one of those that, I mean, I love the smell of charcoal. I love the ritual of that. But, you know, for anything less than 20 minutes, I would say gas, because it's consistent. The heat is consistent. Food cooks a little more consistent. Charcoal is going to hit a peak and then start to taper off, so there's a little more adjustment to it. Mm-hmm. But the smell definitely in the air.
And you can get the flavored briquettes and kind of, sort of, get a little bit of that flavor, but yeah.
So what you're saying is buy them all.
I'm saying that you should definitely have more than one grill in your house.
You have more grills than I have shoes.
Let's go to Tony. Tony!
What How are you doing, guys?
What is your question for Kevin Coleman from Weber? Go ahead.
I am trying to cook the perfect filet, and sometimes I get it almost there, but not quite, and other times I leave it on too long. What I'm doing is searing both sides about 3 minutes, like you said, to indirect heat, and I'm cooking that, and I use a meat thermometer, but what is the perfect temperature to take that off for, like, medium well and not making it too dry?
So what I would suggest that you do is you roast that filet first, and normally I like to keep... when I go to the butcher where I cut steaks, I like them to be the same size. So I like an inch and a half, give or take 2 inches, when I'm cooking a filet. If I'm going to be doing it like you, I'm going to set my grill up for indirect heat. I'm going to have the grill somewhere at 450 degrees. I'm going to put the steaks over indirect heat for about 8 minutes aside, 8 to 10 minutes aside. That's going to be about 16 to 20 minutes total. Then I'm going to reverse sear it 3 minutes aside, because what happens if you put it over the sear first, the steak is going to contract and start pushing out some of that moisture, and that's part of the reason why it's dried out. So if you flip that in reverse, you're actually going to maintain more of the moisture content, and it's going to be
Makes sense. Now let me ask you this. When I take it off the 5 degrees before and let it rest, is that covered or uncovered?
You can do either. We're doing a lot of steak cooking right now, so
I love these questions.
It's like,
man.
Chicago, you know. It's you got ketchup, you got mustard. I mean, this is what I would do. I would take it off the grill, put it inside, let it rest for 5 minutes. The moisture of that steak is going to get put back into it, and it's going to make it a little more tender. I would say also, make sure you're slicing against the grain. If you love fillets, slice a little bit of the edge off, and you can see where the grain is going. Turn your knife perpendicular and work your way back. It's going to make the muscle fiber of that meat smaller, which is going to make it more tender and more flavorful.
That's nice. Tony, hold on. We're going to set you up with a MeatsRUs.com $50 gift certificate. You can buy your meat online. How about that? The way that I make salmon is I put the salmon in foil, and I let it cook in some lemon juice, and then I sear it at the end, so it doesn't dry out on the grill. Am I doing it right?
It really depends. If you do skin-on salmon, the lemon juice is a good equalizer, so any of that excess fishy smell you might have coming from any type of fish.
I like the lemon flavor, too.
Well, sure, but it's gonna take away that smell, but it's also going to provide you that flavor. So what I would do is, if you like doing it that way, I would cook it indirectly with the skin on, and then you get your spatula, you come through, take it off, and then turn it right over on a burner that's already on, that's direct heat, and sear. Okay. The foil makes sense a little bit, but I'm not a big fan of cooking with foil.
You know what? You frowned when I said foil. Did you notice that?
He did the little
furrow. He looked at me like you're a piker. What are you doing? You don't know what you're doing. I'm the grill master.
We just got to reprogram you a little bit.
But that sear is a quick sear.
Yeah, it's probably, with fish, you have to be really careful. So if you use your lemon juice, you're going to have to put a little light coating of olive oil on there because you want that to hit first. You want that to provide a little bit of lubrication on it. Helps caramelize faster, and then it comes off, and you're not going to leave half of it on the grate.
Got it. Let's go to...
I can hang out with you for an hour.
Rick, I know.
Never
just
one
hour. Rick, you're on with Kevin Coleman from Weber. What's your question?
Good afternoon, everybody. My question is, I don't know how often I have to change those flavorizer bars. I got a new grill last year, and they seem to be in good shape. I don't know if there's a time period if they have to be changed out.
It's a fantastic question. So until you have actual pitting, which you'll have some holes start to form in the flavorizer bars, there's no reason to replace those. But what I would say is, we are creatures of habit when we grill. So usually you like to put everything in the center. So in the springtime, when I get my grills out, I'll take the flavorizer bars that are in the center, and I'll move those to the outside, and I'll take the outside and move them in, because you can also have some longevity there because they haven't really been cooked on.
Okay.
Good idea. Thank you.
Rick, hold on the line. We're going to set you up with a $50 gift certificate to Meats R Us. Let's go to Dave on line one. Dave.
Hi, Dave.
We're talking
greetings grilling. And salutations.
We're talking grilling with Kevin Coleman from Weber. Go ahead.
Well, I've tried something different. How about, is there any way you can cook corned beef out on a grill other than, you know, there's the old boil and bake, or bake it in the oven? But for the summer, maybe you like to do it when it's a little cooler, you know, so it's not heating up the house.
Yeah, that's one thing that we spent some time down with a guy named Russell Ragles at Ragles Barbecue in Houston, who's in the top 50 now. There's 2,000 barbecue restaurants in Texas. So he's taught us how to do corned beef, which we do a pastrami, which is smoked. So corned beef is going to be something that's boiled or steamed inside. You can do the same thing out on your grill at 225 to 250. Do it low and slow. You'll get a beautiful color, beautiful smell to it, and you won't have the inside of the house getting done. So you'll actually, it'll taste much better because you're going to have it in the elements where the rub starts to caramelize and everything else, as opposed to boiling it like you would, or steaming it like you would corned beef.
Dave, hold on. We'll set you up with a $50 gift certificate. I love talking grilling. I mean, who knew?
Apparently everybody else does, too.
Wow.
I have a million questions. You're going to do another
one? Yeah, go ahead. What do you got?
No, I want to keep reading what everyone else is writing.
Fred, you're on WGN. You're on with Kevin Coleman from Weber Grills.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm in the process of converting my my grill to natural gas. And my question is, what should the pressure regulator be set at?
Oh, it depends on the grill that you have. Normal grills are running about 7 inches of water column pressure. If it's a larger gas grill, I would say 70,000, 80,000 BTUs or more, you're probably going to have to be about 4 inches of water column pressure. But a lot of that stuff
actually, we've downsized to a two-burner grill, And I know, like, the furnace is at 3.5 inches on the stove, but I was just curious about this, the regulator on the grill.
Yeah, I would say you need to be about 7 inches of water column pressure for a two-burner grill.
I don't know what you guys are talking about, but I want one.
I don't either.
I know.
It's all different language to me.
Fred, hold on. We're going to set you up with a $50 gift certificate. You can get some meat from meatsrus.com.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Fred. What about seasoning? What do you use? What's your go-to with...
Wait. Seasoning go-to, but is seasoning the most important part of grilling?
Well, when I break down grilling, I like to do it in my four pillars. So get a really good grill, know your grill, know your meat, where you're getting it from really matters. Your seasoning, and then you're going to be your methodology and how you grill it.
Okay.
So if you have a really good grill, not so good meat, really good seasoning, and a really good methodology, you could have a good chance of something coming out. Mm-hmm. So it's part of a smaller equation that's going to get you success. But yes, seasoning really is going to matter, especially how to get food to pop. And I mean, what's the best time to put it on? What's the best ratio of salt to things that you're putting it on? I mean, you talk about marinating. The only thing that's penetrating meat and protein on a molecular level is going to be salt and water, right? Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure you're salting things 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours before you put them on, because you want the salt to get into the protein and give it more flavor.
Do you rub it in there?
You can. It depends on what you rub it.
Yeah.
Well, there's a rub, or you can just sprinkle salt on it and let it sit.
You could do that. Sometimes, depending on the rub, some rubs I have that have no salt because I'm salting really early.
Yeah.
And then I finish it with the pepper blends or the brown sugar blends, whatever we're going to be using. But definitely salting something before you cook is going to help, because you need that to get inside to give it more flavor.
New York strip. You put it on the grill. What kind of seasoning are you putting on it? Salt and pepper?
I'm a salt and pepper guy, but we use four different grinds of pepper. We use a fine coarse, extra coarse, and cracked. The reason why we use the extra coarse and cracked is because it's larger, and so the fat gets into it and starts to release more of that flavor onto it. And I finish with a little brown sugar, so that way it caramelizes and kind of tones down the pepper. But yeah, mostly salt and pepper.
Okay. This is what we're going to do. We're going to take a break, and we have three people that made it on the line. They got $50 gift certificates to Meats R Us. Thanks again to Victor over at International Meat Company. You have a grill that you're going to give us to give away.
I do have a 22.5-inch charcoal grill that we're going to be giving away to one lucky listener.
Okay, so the three people that won, we're going to pick a winner out of those three during commercial break. We'll name the winner when we come back. Okay?
Sounds good. A thermometer, too?
I'll throw one of those
All
in,
right.
too.
All right!
I like
just
that.
Just because you had the first question.
Can we follow you on Twitter, Kevin Coleman, with a K?
You can follow me on Twitter. It's Kevin Coleman. Twitter, Instagram is Kevin Coleman, and then on Facebook it's Weber Grill Master.
K-O-L-M-A-N.
Yes.
Okay, Kevin Coleman on Twitter. I'm going to follow you during the commercial right now. So, Elif, I'm going to go to a break, and then we're going to take those three winners, pick a winner for the grill, too. All right.
The grill and the thermometer.
Cool?
I'm trying to
and
pack,
the thermometer.
I'm trying to add value to our winner.
Elif's looking at me like, I need John Williams back. Where is John? All right, it's 720 WGN. Kevin Coleman from Weber Grills in studio with us. Thanks again to Victor. MeatsRUs.com. Meats, the letter R, us.com is where they gave us the $50 gift certificates for...
You just buy your meat online.
Rick, Fred, and Tony, and congratulations to Tony. We picked his name during the break. Tony picks up what kind of grill?
He's getting a 22.5-inch Weber charcoal grill, which is perfect for this type of weather that we're having today. Maybe not tomorrow, but today.
Really?
And all summer long.
And all summer long.
And you have an event coming up.
We do have an event coming up. So May 4th, we're going to be partnering with Ace Hardware. So we're having a huge barbecue fest across the United States. We'll have Weber Grill experts at about 100 stores nationwide giving out tips, tricks, teaching people how to grill better. We're going to have 16 of them here locally, which is pretty exciting. So I believe if they go to the WGN radio website, the addresses of those stores are going to be on there, and it's going to be a great weekend for barbecue.
You're going to be out at Manfredini's place?
I don't know if I'll be out at Manfredini's place, but I might be out there somewhere.
Mr. Fix-It knows a lot about grilling.
Yeah, Lou is definitely a very passionate griller. I know he's a big Weber fan. Bunch of knowledge. I've been able to do some fun things with him with Ace, so he's definitely a larger-than-life personality.
God, it's great to see you.
Well, it's great to be here. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you for stopping in. Great answers to all of our questions.
Wow. And
don't give Pete your phone number, because he will text you later.
That was my next question, but I'm following you on Twitter. Now.
Twitter's good. I can give it to you off the air, because I don't need the whole Chicagoland area trying to get
Why
a hold
not,
of
you. Why not, man? Can you give us grill tips? I feel like I need a go-to grill guy.
Well, you got one now. Everybody's got to have a guy, especially in Chicago, so now you got yours.
So you're going to give me your cell phone before you go?
I will give it to you. before.
I appreciate that. Kevin Coleman.
Bromance from based off of barbecue.
I'm going to warn you what's happening next, Kevin.
And I have the Weber Genesis, which I've been very happy with. How many propane tanks before you go? How many do you have at your house?
I have 8 right now. But again, 54 grills isn't normal either, so I'm just...
So not normal. But you are who you are. I don't even know what the thermometer is on the grill.
I am who I am. I'm here to help you. That's it. I'm a facilitator of fun.
Thank you, buddy.
You are.
Thank you.